Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Hey there, if you're listening to this and you support us on Patreon, you can hear it via the Patreon page ad-free.
So now listen, gentlemen, it is start time. Are you ready for start time?
You're listening to Sound Opinions, and this week we share some of our favorite songs about morning and the start of a new day. I'm Jim DeRogatis.
And I'm Greg Kot. But first, let's review the new albums from No Name and Rat Boys.
That is a little bit of The Window, the title track of the fifth album by Rat Boys, a Chicago group, Greg, that has been making some big national news ever since the key songwriters Julia Steiner and Dave Sagan came together at Notre Dame in South Bend, Indiana, moved to Chicago 2015, started releasing records. I think it was the second and the third, GN and Printer's Devil in 2017 and 2020 that really began to build them a national following. Initially, it was just this duo, now rounded out by a full rhythm section, has been essentially self-producing the first couple of records. But for this new one, The Window, they went to Seattle and they hunkered down with Chris Walla, best known for Death Cab for Cutie, and a great engineer and producer himself. So turning over the reins somewhat to an outside set of ears and coming up with this record that is garnering quite a bit of buzz. Let's play a track from it and we'll come back and give our opinions as always. This is, appropriately enough, called Making Noise for the Ones You Love by Rat Boys on Sound Opinions. Making Noise for the Ones You Love from the new Rat Boys album, The Window. The band has been making some noise in Chicago for a number of years.
Yeah.
Well-regarded. And I tell you, Chris Walla, I've always admired that guy. I think he's done a great job. Death Cab for Cutie hasn't been the same since Chris left.
No.
I loved his production work with Decemberists and Tegan and Sarah, various artists like that. He's a multi-instrumentalist, a multi-talented guy. And I think he contributes to the bigger sound on this record. You know, Rat Boys kind of had a reputation as being a sort of a country-ish band early on. And there's still some of that twang in these songs. Nothing wrong with that. I mean, you listen to something like Morning Zoo or No Way,
Yeah.
You can still hear that element. But what I think the real breakthrough here for the band is the fuller sound, bigger production, the guitars up front, just the arrangements are more thought through, and the consistency of this record. Rat Boys would inevitably have a couple of songs on every record that kind of go, huh, these guys, they've got something. There's something happening here. But I don't think they ever put it together in the way they have on The Window. It's beginning to end, I think it's their strongest album by far. The heft that I was mentioning really comes through on songs like the one we just played, Making Noise for the Ones You Love. Empty. Rock songs. I am still kind of blown away by Black Earth, Wisconsin.
Yes.
The Crazy Horse stomp, you know.
I was waiting for you to mention that. That is one of the best.
8-9 minutes long, right?
Shoots to the top of the short list of like best road trip songs ever.
Yeah, and it was a really pleasant surprise coming from them, that sort of, you know, stretch out song. They seem to be able to get those kind of anthemic tunes going. And then, you know, you listen to Morning Zoo, that's just a great pop rock song.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't underestimate how powerful also, you know, Julia Steiner is as a singer, but also as a lyricist. That idea of windows to the mm-hmm. world, windows to the future, windows to hope. A lot of songs sort of swirling around that post, you know, the COVID climate in the country, and then emerging from that.
We can't mention that title track and not tell the story behind
it. That's the most beautiful song on the record.
You know, Julia's grandfather, grandma was in the hospital and dying. Because of COVID restrictions, grandpa couldn't be there. So he's watching the love of his life leave this life through the window.
Right.
And it's not maudlin. It is an emotion that I think can affect everybody, imagining in that situation, but also imagining the distances that sometimes happen to all of us between the ones we love. You know, I think with this album, Greg, Rat Boys is splitting the difference between the many shoegaze revival bands today and the old country roots. I mean, there's still violin on here. There's still some lap steel. You know, a Chicago kind of Americana sound, you know, with the emphasis on those guitars really coming to the fore. I put them up there with some of the best guitar bands working today, like Big Thief and Wednesday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with you.
Yo, she's a shadow walker, moon stalker, black author, librarian, contrarian, a state, say we did, we say we not. That's my shit, I believe my sister, there are no winners. We smoking positivity like dust, trust, angels never fuck up with us. Shadow box the sundown till sundown, Lynchtown, burning in the rear view while I'm driving with a clear view. Is it socialism, sister? Am I supposed to feel this different like my rent's paid, the devil's dead?
That is a track called Black Mirror from the new no-name record Sundial, the third studio album from Fatima Warner, a Chicago MC who started calling herself a no-name gypsy and then just made it no-name in recent years. She's part of that spoken word scene in Chicago that has been thriving for a decade plus now. Came up alongside artists like Chance the Rapper, Saba, Shmino, and developed a huge word-of-mouth reputation among the hip-hop heads. You know, she initially was this poet, but man, you know, you put her on that mic and you've got a first-class rapper as well. Her debut album, it was a mixtape that came out in 2016, Telephone, recorded with Saba, took another step forward into, like, major artist, and 2018 confirmed it, Room 25. That was during this transition period. She moved from Chicago to Los Angeles, where she's now based. And that was a self-financed record. She believed in it herself.
Yeah.
And she put it out herself and got incredible acclaim. And I saw her grow as a performer. You know, initially it was kind of, you're coming out of that spoken word scene. You're up there on stage alone. But, you know, developed a sound with a full band. It became a much more dynamic live act. In 2019, started a book club focusing on black literature and politics. Her mother owned a bookstore in Chicago, which is where she's coming from. Now we have a much anticipated, long in the making, third album. There was some talk that No Name was not even going to record another album. She had sort of become a little bit underwhelmed by the way hip-hop was perceived in mainstream culture and wasn't sure she really wanted to be a part of that. But lo and behold, she did come through with this third album, Sundial. We're going to listen to it a little bit first, but there was a controversy that we need to address that came up before this album was even released, and that was the lead single, Balloons, drawing a lot of criticism from some of her fans. Due to the very presence of J Electronica, a controversial MC, to say the least, in the hip-hop community, he has been very outspoken about some of his beliefs, which have included anti-Semitism. And the verse that he contributes to the song, Balloons, kind of runs through a laundry list of some of the anti-Semitic tropes that are out there.
It name-checks Louis Farrakhan.
You know, and No Name's response to it probably didn't help matters. You know, she's perceived as a progressive politically. So a lot of her fans were taken aback by the fact that she would include this. And she said, well, listen, I didn't write it. I don't have to apologize for it because it's not my verse. Well, but you did put it on your album.
Yeah.
You know, and then she sort of doubled down and said, well, maybe I purposely did a song with J Electronica to alienate my white fans.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure if she really meant that or not. I did read one interview with her where she sort of did get to, you know, maybe opening up what this was really about. She said she wanted to start a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And in the context of that, we're going to have the conversation here in a minute, but we're going to play a track from No Name Sundial before we do. It is called Namesake from No Name on Sound Opinion.
Yo, I never need no man. I got a little bit of love and a couple of friends. Picture me rolling up the bud in the South of Sudan. Yo, I never need no name. Glad you came. We can stand in the rain, maintain a good life. We can fight, play tame. Same day the air strike down our rain. I ran into the house with a blunt in my hand. Let's smoke. I don't want to see death no more. Let's fight. They got the devil hiding in plain sight. That's you. That's me. The whole world is culpable. Why complacency float the boat the most? I don't really get it. Y'all ain't really with it. All they eat the rich tax.
That is Namesake by No Name. The new album is Sundial. I think there's a context to this album that you were sort of pointing at. You know, right up top in Black Mirror, No Name raps, she's a shadow walker, moonstalker, black author, librarian, contrarian.
Mm-hmm.
All right? Contrarian. No Name is the first to admit that No Name Fatima can be conflicted, can be messy, can be inconsistent, can have opinions that, you know, conflict with each other. She's not going to censor herself. She's going to let it all hang out with brutal honesty, and she's going to try to start those conversations.
Mm-hmm.
Part of why she was pulling away from music was, you know, it's one thing for me to talk about it, I'm paraphrasing the interviews I've read with her, including a great piece in The New Yorker by Khalifa Sena, Shouldn't I Be an Activist, right? And then eventually realizing in her long wait to deliver this album that, you know, maybe my activism is my recording and my place is in music. And I don't have to have the answers. I can just pose questions. All of this comes amid an incredibly wonderful mix of bossa nova and jazz and soul and boom bap, brilliant musical constructions, often lyrics and raps that are funny, that are sexy, that are thought-provoking. And she's fearless. No Name takes on Jay-Z for playing the Super Bowl, propaganda for the military, she says, and then doubles down by, you know, dissing Beyonce. Go, Beyonce, go. Watch the fighter jets fly high.
Go, Beyonce, go. Watch the fighter jet fly high. War machine gets glamorized. We play the game too fast.
On the other hand, she's also saying, I played Coachella, and I wore a weave instead of my natural hair. And doesn't that make me part of the problem,
right,
too?
Go, No Name, go. Coachella stage got sanitized. I said I wouldn't perform for them, and somehow I still fell in line.
I mean, as a 31-year-old intellectual, writer, thinker, lover of books, community activist, is No Name consistent in all of her opinions? No, she's trying to work it out, and she's doing it on record. And somebody like Kendrick Lamar gets a pass for that, but No Name's a woman. And I'm wondering if some of the controversy, some of the rejection comes from that fact.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's good that you brought up Kendrick Lamar, because I think the context for that, you know, Kendrick Lamar's last album had similar kind of issues where he was
conflicted,
really investigating himself. And, you know, one of the bigger issues with that album was just there was almost too much of it. It was like it was just sprawling. It was scattered. Intense, amazing. Very few artists can make that kind of record at the same time. It was flawed.
Yeah.
This is a very focused record by No Name. She's not wasting a note on this record. It's only like 32 minutes long. In fact, in some ways, I would love if a few of these songs were a little more fleshed out. Some of them are only like 2 minutes long.
Or Potentiality, you know? The interlude, right? People say they love you, but they really love Potential, not the person that's in front of them, the person you'll grow into.
Well, who do you think she's talking about there?
Talking about herself.
I mean, she's talking about herself.
People say they love you, but they really love Potential, not the person that's in front of them, the person you'll grow into.
This might be her way of saying, you really don't know me at all.
I'm not sure
I even know myself.
How can you know me if I don't know myself?
Right. And it's really kind of the key to this record. It unlocked the door for me, like, why is Jay Electronica on here?
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, I'm opening up this discussion. The opening song, she says it right there, Black Mirror. She's holding up a mirror to the black community.
Right.
That she's very clear. That's who I'm speaking to here. If white folks want to listen, okay, fine, but I'm talking to the black community here. And it's instructive for every person, no matter what color you are, to listen to this record, because she's not pulling any punches. You know, this is not everything's Wakanda. In fact, she references Wakanda.
She references
and
that, right?
Talks about the
we
fact
ain't living
that,
in Wakanda.
That we're sort of undermining ourselves in a lot of ways. We think we're building toward this, but really we're not. And here's why. So I welcome the fact that, and it's couched in this neo soul gospel thing that is such a tradition in Chicago music, hip hop especially. The breeziness belies the fact that this is just really pointed lyrically, one of the most pointed lyrical statements I've ever heard from any artist in any genre. So it's going to raise some hackles, but at the same time, it is a very thought-provoking release and well worth the time.
Yeah, and not one that we could ignore. But that's what we thought of Rat Boys and No Name. As always, now we want to hear from you. What do you make of these two new albums? When we return, we'll share our favorite songs about mourning and hear from our production staff. That's coming up on Sound Opinions. And we are back. This was an idea my beloved wife, Carmel, came up with. You know how many great songs there are, she said, about mourning? And this was in the context of a conversation, and I think that this is a good list show for us to do now. Everybody either has just gone back to school or is gearing up for it.
Mm-hmm.
Starts for me in just a couple of days. And look, I love teaching, okay? It's the getting up. It's the tension. I use a new phrase that Carmel introduced me to, the Sunday scaries.
Mm.
It's like Sunday night and you're dreading Monday morning, right? Not even if you love your job, and we do. But, you know, it's like, I got to get up. I got to get dressed. I got
responsibilities.
I got to deliver. I got all these students who don't want to think I'm an idiot. Right. All right. So the morning can be daunting. As always, with anything daunting in life, what helps? Music!
Yeah, there you go.
Music, thank goodness for music. You're going to lead us off with songs about mourning.
Yeah, it's pretty inspired. Like, when you think about mourning, people think about the new day, you know. But sometimes, you know, mourning has different shades of meaning, you know,
yeah,
and different ways of approaching it. And I wanted to kick off with a Kris Kristofferson's song, Sunday Morning Coming Down, which has long been one of my favorites. It's been covered by countless artists. It was actually first recorded in 1969. By Ray Stevens, and then Johnny Cash got a hold of it in 1970 and made it in a number one hit on the country charts. Fantastic reading of the song. Kristofferson loved it. Kristofferson, in his, shall we say, croak of a voice, also offers his interpretation on his debut album, which included some masterpieces, you know. It was loaded with future hits, including Bobby McGee and Help Me Make It Through the Night.
Yeah.
But he chose to end his debut album with this song because how do you follow this song?
Yeah.
And to me, it is like the ultimate regret-filled morning song. Morning can symbolize optimism or anticipation or a fresh beginning, but sometimes it's a place to regret what happened the night before and feel lost or adrift because of it. And I think that's exactly what's happening here. I mean, this guy's hit rock bottom.
Yeah.
You know, on the Sunday morning sidewalk, wishing, Lord, that I was stoned, because there's something in a Sunday makes a body feel alone. And Cash, when he performed it on his TV show, was asked not to sing the line about being stoned. Johnny Cash says, you lose the song if you don't sing that
right.
line.
Johnny Cash line. Didn't censor himself.
Great song. Here's Kris Kristofferson with Sunday Morning Coming Down on Sound Opinions.
And it took me back to something that I'd lost somehow, somewhere along the way. On the Sunday morning sidewalk, wishing, Lord, that I was stoned. Cause there's something in a Sunday makes a body feel alone.
That is Kristofferson, Sunday Morning Coming Down.
That is a great one. We've been doing the show a long time, and I think sometimes we try to avoid the obvious. Mm-hmm. We're both huge Velvet Underground fans, but Sunday Morning, which is every bit as great as Sunday Morning Coming Down, it just seemed too obvious, right? I think no band did more songs about mornings than the Beatles. No Beatles from me. I'm going to start with my ultimate morning shot of caffeine, of invigoration. There ain't no better way to start any day than with Stevie Wonder, right?
Yeah.
He is sunshine personified. I'm going to play Stevie Wonder's Happier Than the Morning Sun because, A, it's a great song, and, B, it gives me a chance to once again rectify in the 98 years we've been doing Sound Opinions. I've never mentioned this band, Tonto's Expanding Headband, which was an acronym, the Original New Timbrel Orchestra. Two synthesizer pioneers, Malcolm Cecil and Robert Mogilev, had invented this machine with bits and pieces of every analog synth on the market in the early 70s. There were Moog pieces and Oberheim and Arp and EMS and Roland and Yamaha. They built the largest ever, still to this day, multi-timbral polyphonic analog synth. That means nothing to anybody, but I'm a synth. You know, what it meant is it wouldn't just play a chord. You know, the four or five notes in a chord would each be rendered on a different instrument.
Yeah.
And like an orchestra.
And Stevie was drawn to that kind of
stuff.
Stevie
loved it.
He loved it.
He made five albums with these guys in the period generally considered his true golden years. Now, having started out as young Stevie Wonder, little Stevie, right? Music of My Mind, the first of this era, was actually his 14th album, you know, and he's working with Tonto, and he's loving the synthesizer, you know. That collaboration would go on through Talking Book and Inner Visions, like I said, five of his best albums. But above and beyond the sonic wonderfulness, the mystery, I mean, you sort of can recognize the instruments delivering those wonderful melodies, but not really. Why? Because they're all synthesizer. You know, I'm happier than the morning sun, Stevie tells us, and that's the way you said it would be if I should ever bring you inside my life. Later on, he says it's not actually the star in the sky he's talking about. It's the love of his life who's there when he wakes up. So, Happier Than the Morning Sun by Stevie Wonder.
I'm happier than the morning sun. And that's the way you said that would be. If I should ever bring you inside my life. Happier than the morning sun, and that's the way you say that would be. If I should ever bring you inside my life.
Oh, yeah. Happier Than the Morning Sun, right?
I'm with you on Stevie. He's just joyful. He's the most joyous voice in popular music ever, I think.
What a treasure.
Well, you know, you're on the soul tip, and I'm going to go there too. Nina Simone, Feeling Good. Feeling Good, the history of this song doesn't inspire me. I mean, it was a Broadway song, right? Mm-hmm. I'm not a big Broadway buff. And apologies to all my Broadway buffs out there. Anthony Newley co-wrote this song, The Roar of the Grease Paint, The Smell of the Crowd, which is kind of a funny funny title for a Broadway play in 1964.
Newley is an underrated classic.
There is sort of a subversive streak there, so I can see why Nina chose to record it a year later. The album that it appeared on, I Put a Spell on You, I think was her effort to redeem some songs that she felt weren't properly sung in the first place, or didn't get enough love in the first place, or were given love for the wrong reasons, and she sort of made them her own. I mean, anytime Nina sings a song, it's her song now, because her interpretations are so definitive. And after she recorded Feeling Good in 1965, all these artists jumped on board. I don't think the song would have had the life it had Nina Simone not recorded it in 1965. Traffic, Coltrane, George Michael, Sammy Davis Jr., all these artists wanted a piece of the action, right? But Nina's version, of course, is the definitive one. Broadway can have soul. It's a new dawn. It's a new day. It's a new life for me. You know, when she sings those lines, coming from a singer who sang some of the most pointed protest songs in the history of pointed protest songs, who had a darkness about her that, you know, always was there, that gravitas.
Oh, yeah.
To sing those words really was meaningful. Nina Simone, Feeling Good on Sound Opinions.
Fish in the sea, you know how I feel. River running free, you know how I feel. Blossom on the tree, you know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new feeling good.
A great morning song, in my opinion, Nina Simone. You wake up to that, you do feel good.
Talk about feeling good in the morning. 2002, you and I are covering South by Southwest, as we did for decades. And unlike many of our journalistic critical peers, we attended all the panels, we went to all the sessions, and we always, including, you know, the ungodly hour of 8 a.m. or 8:30 a.m., the opening session at South by Southwest. And in 2002, there was a surprise. Out comes some two dozen musicians in white flowing robes, and they begin to play parts for half an hour before the speeches and the speechifying and, you know, welcome to South by Southwest, of the most incredible music you or I had ever heard. I remember the two of us looking at each other.
Yeah.
There's part Beach Boys, there's part, you know, like Electric Light Orchestra. What is going on here? You know, we don't know. You know, and Tim DeLofter had formed a new band. His original group, which was very much in the mid-period Flaming Lips mode, Tripping Daisy, his partner had suffered a drug overdose death. And Tim, who was raised with some church in his background, some born-again tent revival church, decided to put together this not specifically religious, but religious-like orchestral pop band, the Polyphonic Spree. Right, you got 12 people singing, you got French horn, you got guitar, you got synth, you got theremin, you got everything, these people. And you know, the two songs that stuck with me, which we would soon find on their debut album, The Beginning Stages of the Polyphonic Spree, were Hey Now It's the Sun, which just has that recurring chorus, you know, Hey Now It's the Sun, and Light and Day / Reach for the Sun. And I think this is a great morning song because Tim is telling us, just follow the day and reach for the sun. You know, every day starts with a new beginning. The sun is rising, and if you can keep that attitude throughout the day, man, don't you miss the Polyphonic Spree. I mean, they made subsequent albums, and there's much good stuff on them, but that initial discovery.
I attended South by Southwest for 30 years, I think, and that is one of like a half dozen performances that I will never forget.
Unforgettable. And then we had them on the show.
Yeah.
Recorded live with all two dozen of them. Pretty amazing. Light and Day, Reach for the Sun by the Polyphonic Spree. My polyphonic show, Greg, the Polyphonic Timbrel Orchestra, the Polyphonic Spree. You know, as always, Greg, we love to share the wealth when we're doing these shows. So let's turn to our production staff. We've got Sol Delgadillo with a pick.
Hello. Thanks for having me. I chose the song Waking Up and Walking Out by the Nuclear So-and-Sos. And I first discovered this band when I was in the middle of my second or third binge of One Tree Hill, which then spiraled into, you know, a binge of early 2000s rock and emo bands and the like. They're from Indianapolis. They formed in 2006. And although none of them are named Margot, they get the name from the character from The Royal Tenenbaums, which I think is really cool. I really like the trumpet and a lot of the Midwest melodies that you hear throughout it. It's about realizing that you don't actually have feelings for the person that you're with anymore. And how I interpret this song, it's from the perspective of like a one night stand, but it could also be from being in a relationship where you don't think you're a good fit for that person anymore and you decide to just leave. So here's my pick for a song about the morning, Waking Up and Walking Out by Margot and the Nuclear So-and-Sos. Hope you enjoy.
Fast asleep. Well, she's not my lover, she's sharing a floor with me. And we talked about her grandmother. You touch my
Thank you, Sol. That was Waking Up and Walking Out from Margot and the Nuclear So-and-Sos. Now let's turn to Andrew Gill, producer Andrew Gill with his choice. Andrew, what do you got for us?
What's up, guys? As soon as we talked about this idea, I claimed this song immediately. I was very glad no one else tried to fight me for it. Perry Nilsson, Gotta Get Up. It's the song that I play it to wake up my 9-year-old kid sometimes. Mm-hmm. You know, I'll be like, and you know, when I picked it, I'd completely forgotten that it was on that Netflix show, Russian Doll. Did you guys watch that show with Natasha Lyonne?
I have watched it. It doesn't register from that with me.
So whenever she resets her, she relives the same day over and over again. And like in Groundhog Day, the movie, they play I Got You, Babe, Sonny and Cher. In this show, they play Gotta Get Up, Harry Nilsson.
that's even more perfect, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, which gave it, you know, a whole new life in 2019 when that show came out.
Just to be clear, you are Sound Opinion's Harry Nilsson correspondent. It's not like you need an excuse to choose a Nilsson song.
No, yeah, it goes back to, like, in my early 20s, I had a roommate who was just got me really into Harry Nilsson. He'd play it in our apartment all the time. So, and, you know, the lyrical content is kind of about growing into adulthood, you know, and, like, taking on responsibilities, which is what I was doing at the time when my roommate was playing Harry Nilsson all the time. So,
it works
on multiple levels for me. So, here's Gotta Get Up from Harry Nilsson.
Gotta get up, gotta get out, gotta get home before the morning comes. What if I'm late? Got a big day, gotta get home before the sun comes up. Up and away, got a big day, sorry I can't stay. I gotta run, run, yeah. Gotta get home, pick up the phone, gotta let the people know I'm gonna be late. There was a time when we could dance until the quarter.
Harry Nilsson, Gotta Get Up. Great pick, as always, by Andrew Gill. When we come back, more songs about mourning. That's in a minute on Sound Opinions.
And we're back. This week, we're sharing some of our favorite songs about mourning, that time of day, not the sad emotion. Now, let's hear from our producer, Alex Claiborne. Alex, what have you got for us?
Hey, guys. So I, like Greg, am not a particularly enthusiastic mourning person. The song that I chose is a very sleepy mourning song. It's by Kurt Vile, and it's from his 2013 album, Waking on a Pretty Days. The song is called Waking on a Pretty Day. And we've had Kurt on the show, I believe, two times, most recently.
Twice, yeah.
Last year, which listeners should check out. And the reason I picked this song was because it reminds me of when I was an intern on Sound Opinions, and I would commute from the suburbs on the Metro train and all these, and I would often listen to this song in the morning. It's very dreamlike, you know, the lyrics are referencing waking the dawn of day and rising at the crack of dawn. And that's sometimes how I felt, you know, having to make the long trudge into the city. It's not a particularly happy song. It's, I would characterize it as an introverted song. It's sleepy, but yet it still has some bite to it. And I really like the instrumentation there. You know, it's a very sunny sounding, like almost a 70s electric guitar. And then it has that acoustic guitar throughout. And of course, we know on the show, Kurt is a fantastic player. And, you know, really, this song is very him. It's laid back, yet there's an edge of anxiety to it. And also, I don't know if we talked about this on the show, but Rob Laxo, who played guitar on this album and many others for Kurt, passed away earlier this year. And so listening to this song reminded me of him and, you know, thinking of him and his family. So, but yeah, that's Waking on a Pretty Day from Kurt Vile on Sound Opinions.
Alex's pick, Kurt Vile, Waking on a Pretty Day. That's a great one.
Well, you know, Kurt's got two young daughters, so even if he's not a morning person, you probably have to be at a certain point in your life, and that's the time when you become a morning person.
We were talking about that when we last interviewed him before we started rolling tape.
Yeah, definitely.
You got another pick for us?
I do indeed. Another one of my go-to artists, a man with a song for every emotion, every occasion, Bill Withers. This one's from his 1977 album, Menagerie, basically near the end of his lifespan as a recording artist. He kind of left the music business after, you know, going out on top. And this song was co-written with a guy named Skip Scarborough, probably not a household name, but he was actually a fairly prolific songwriter in the 70s. And he and Withers collaborated on this song. And Scarborough, was one among his credits were several for Earth, Wind, and Fire. And there's a little bit of Earth, Wind, and Fire vibe to this song. But, you know, Withers adds his own special sauce. He's always kind of got these little quirks that he inserts in songs, you know. I know.
Right.
You know, and he's saying, why did you say that 40 times? And as we talked to his producer, Booker T. Jones, and I don't know, man. It just worked, you know. And this song, he takes that word day in Lovely Day and stretches it out. One syllable that he stretches out. And again, with Withers, a song that on the surface appears real simple, straightforward. It's going to be a lovely day. As usual, there's another layer to it. The guy wakes up and he's troubled. The first verse he's talking about, I'm not, you know, I don't know what's going on. I don't know if I can get through this. And he turns over and he sees his loved one and he knows that it's going to be okay. Mm-hmm. Things are going to work out. No matter what the world throws at me, I got to remember what matters, you know. And I think he's basically telling his listeners the same thing. Figure out what matters. Bill Withers quit the music business because he figured out what mattered to him. And making another hit record or being the gerbil in the wheelhouse of the music industry wasn't what he wanted to do. And I think this kind of expresses that belief in a lot of ways. Lovely Day from Bill Withers on Sound Opinions.
Just one look at you. And I know it's gonna be a lovely day. Lovely day.
Lovely day, Jim. It's raining in Chicago today, but I'm going to take Bill Withers at his word and say we're going to make, you know, you got to make it a lovely day anyway, right? You got to figure out a way to do it.
It's true, and I'll give you the pass on Bill Withers as I gave Andrew the pass on Harry Nilsson. But the other go-to for me is you name a complicated emotion or time of life, and Joni Mitchell has a song for it, okay?
Yeah.
So Joni Mitchell, before album number one, is living in Chelsea in New York City, which was a pretty good place until Andy Warhol made that movie about it. She said Chelsea girls, right? And Joni Mitchell, who was torn initially between am I a songwriter, am I a visual artist, had rescued some pieces of stained glass from a demolished home for unwed mothers. Hmm. And she created a mobile, or is it a mobile, hanging in her Chelsea apartment. And the sun would come through, and that's what woke her up. As she sings in Chelsea Morning, the sun poured in like butterscotch and stuck to all my senses. You know, we've probably written conservatively, what, 2-3 million words each? Have we ever written a line that good?
Yeah, I'm telling you.
We're not Joni Mitchell.
Yeah.
But we can listen to her and we can laud her as well she deserved. Many, many people love this song. Judy Collins did a version of it. It was the Judy Collins version that won Bill and Hillary as young students heard and fell in love with and eventually named their daughter Chelsea after this song. Fantastic tune by Joni Mitchell, very beginning of her career. Second album it appeared on, Clouds, 1969. Joni Mitchell.
Woke up, it was a Chelsea morning, and the first thing that I saw was the sun, two yellow curtains, and a rainbow on my wall. The red, green, and gold to welcome you, crimson crystal beads to beckon. Oh, won't you stay? We'll put on a day. There's a sun show every second.
Joni Mitchell, Chelsea Morning.
That's great choice.
I was in New York. I stayed in Chelsea. Yeah. Always walking around singing that song in my head.
I want to play a song called This Is the Day from The. It's a morning song. And this is one of those songs where the refrain always trips people up because they think, oh, this is really a bright, upbeat song. This is the day your life will surely change. But it's really about a guy who's hit rock bottom and sees nowhere to go but up. And he's thinking, therefore, surely my life will change today. And you get the sense as you listen to the song, verse after verse, that it's not going to.
Yeah.
And also Matt Johnson's voice just has the deep, dark, resonant tone that leads you to believe that it's not all it seems on first listen. And that is the case with This Is the Day from The on Sound of Penance.
And the sun burns into your eyes. You watch a plane flying across the field.
This is the day, and sometimes it isn't when we wake up in the morning.
That's true. We don't give the enough love on this show.
That's a great album, the one that...
That is a great album.
From 1983.
Underrated artist and a great legacy. I'm going to go to someone who we have talked about a lot over the years, Beck. I'm a big fan of Morning Phase, album number 12 in his career. And I think it came at a time, I don't know if this was true for you too, I felt like I'd heard everything Beck could do, all right? I was kind of Becked out. You know, there were good stuff. There was good stuff on every record, but I was like, okay, I know what Beck does.
Yeah.
And then he gives us Morning Phase, which is a concept album that he intended to have the listener take the journey from beginning of the day to the end with him along the way. There's a sadness in this album, and he said while singing about the morning, he was also thinking about mourning something, the passing of something. Maybe it was the passing of his sarcastic, Dada-esque, surreal persona, because this is, I think, the most honest Beck ever got. He sings in the song, Mourning, I tore down my defenses. My defenses are gone. I always think of Morning Phase and Sea Change as the two albums that were sort of bookends, right? And with Sea Change, he was touring with the Flaming Lips. taking that sort of sweeping psychedelic orchestral sound and the sincerity that the Flaming Lips often had amid their surrealism and taking a cue from all of that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can't separate which one's the better. I love them both, but this song I especially love, Morning by Beck. Can we stand Morning by Beck. That was a great period for Mr. Beck.
Great choice. I want to finish up our picks with Outkast featuring Goody Mob. I mean, two of the giants in that Dirty South scene that was germinating in the early 90s, right? Outkast. Their debut album is terrific, and it had a bunch of great singles on it, including Get Up, Get Out with Goody Mob. So two of the members of Goody Mob, including CeeLo. And Big Jip were a part of this tune. And, you know, it's really about, it's a motivational song. It's say, get up and do something today. You know, you can't just, I think it's really a kind of a statement to themselves and to their peers saying, you know, we're living as kids for so long, we have to man up. We have to become adults at some point, you know, and now is as good a time as any. You know, a song about maturity and the struggle to achieve it. And the verses detail all these temptations that are keeping you from doing that, a lot of distractions faced by any young person that can keep them in a permanent state of adolescence, you know. And it's basically saying it's time to get out of that vibe and embrace adulthood. It sort of speaks to the consciousness that they brought to a sound that is typically associated with hedonism. You know, it's like a party music, right?
Mm-hmm.
But Outkast was obviously up to deeper stuff as well. Get Up, Get Out from their debut album on Sound Opinion.
Cause you and I got to do for you and I. That's what y'all telling me that I need to get out and vote, huh? Why? Ain't nobody black running but crack curves, so why I got to register? I'm thinking a better shit to do with my time. Never smelled the aroma of diploma, but I write the deep past rhyme. So let me take y'all way back to when Aiken stayed in Southwest Atlanta, A. Y'all could not tell me nothing, thought I hit that bottom rock. At age 13, start working at that loading dock.
That is Get Up, Get Out from Outkast featuring Goody Mob.
Well, Greg, you started off with the bummer morning song, Sunday Morning Coming Down. I'm going to end with it, although it might not, my bummer morning song, it might not be obvious as a bummer morning song because it's a beautiful, ultra-melodic song. Chip Taylor, the story goes, that famous 60s songwriter who gave us most memorably, Wild Thing. Here's Ruby Tuesday in 1967 by the Rolling Stones and decides to write sort of his version of it. First offers it to Connie Francis, who turns it down because the lyrics are too risque. I'm eventually going to get to Angel of the Morning, all right? Recorded many times. First charted as a minor hit by Merrily Rush.
Yeah.
Later, Chrissy Hynde of the Pretenders, Dusty Springfield, Olivia Newton-John. But the version that I think everybody knows is by Juice Newton. Came out in 1981, was a huge hit single. I was still pretty young, therefore still listening to AM radio. I just remember hearing it like all the time on the radio. And, you know, it wasn't cool to say you liked something this poppy and this produced, but it always touched me. Newton, born in Lakehurst, New Jersey, right? But raised in Virginia. Started out as a folky singer-songwriter. This really was her big moment in the sun, a huge hit single. Now, what's great about the song is, why did Connie Francis freak out when she first heard it? It's about premarital sex, right? At a time in the mid-60s where that wasn't a pop hit type of theme.
Right.
You know, but what I think Juice brought to it is there are no apologies for this woman who had a one-night stand with the man. And she knows that he doesn't want to make a commitment, and frankly, she doesn't care. Maybe the sun's light will be dim and it won't matter. If Morning's Echo says we sinned, well, it's what I wanted, what I wanted now. Yeah. No apologies. I had this evening. I ain't apologizing for it. You can call me Angel of the Morning, or I can never hear from you again. I frankly don't care.
Mm-hmm.
You go, Juice. Mm-hmm. And just like the orchestration, right? I mean, they must have spent recording yeah. this song, right?
Yeah.
The orchestral swells and the vocals. Juice Newton, Angel of the Morning.
Yes.
Newton, Angel of the Morning. That wraps up our favorite songs about morning. And now we want to hear from you. Leave us a voice message on soundopinions.org with your thoughts and a pick, and we'll share them on the show. Meanwhile, Mr. Gott, what do we got next week?
Well, Jim, we are going to talk to one of the gentlemen who is at the forefront of incorporating popular music and using it as a vehicle to advance plot and character in TV series, and we're talking specifically about Brian Koppelman of mm-hmm. Billions. We're going to revisit that conversation as Billions wraps up its long run on a streaming channel.
And don't forget to check out our bonus podcast feed wherever you get your podcasts. The views, thoughts, and opinions expressed in this program belong solely to Sound Opinions and not necessarily to Columbia College Chicago or our sponsors. Thanks, as always, to our Patreon supporters. Sound Opinions is produced by Andrew Gill, Alex Claiborne, and our associate producer, Sol Delgadillo. Our new Columbia College intern is Max Hatlam, and our social media consultant is Katie Cott.